Today we're on part four of our Remembering Our Identity series, and so we're going to get into that. Last week I said that while we held our meetings remotely from our homes over the 3.5 months that we were at home during COVID, our messages focused on the different individuals in Scripture that dealt with challenging situations, how they faced them, how they reacted, and how God intervened and helped them through those situations. Each situation, God helped them in that challenging time. So we can conclude from our studies over that 3.5 month period of looking at each of those individuals, we can conclude that if God was there for them in their challenging times, we can be assured that He's here for us too in our challenging times. Okay, the things that we're facing. And so one of the things that was common amongst each of those individuals that we looked at, they each identified with God. That was their identity. Their identity was in God. They were submitted to God. They trusted God in their situation. They had faith in God. And so that drew the favor of God toward them to help them face those difficult situations in their life. And so since we've been meeting back here physically in this building, our meetings have changed a little bit. The focus has changed to remembering our identity in Christ. That's what we've been looking at since we've been meeting back here. This is only the fourth time. So anyway, we're on part four. I had taught on our identity in Christ a number of years ago, and I felt moved that that's where God wanted to take us during this time. So that's why we're focusing on that during all these challenges that we've been facing. And so, when things come at us, when there's a lot of things coming at us, we can be distracted. We can be, it can cause us to shrink back and even doubt God. So we're going to be focusing on our remembering who we are in Christ. I believe God wants us to remember who we have living on the inside of us during challenging times. And so that's what we're doing over this series. And I believe it's a word for now. During a COVID pandemic, during racial unrest, and especially during a critical election year, where that election can totally change the course of our nation. Critical. We're in critical times, I believe. And so when I taught that message on our identity a few years ago, I had made reference to one of the animated Disney films. I don't know if you've seen this film or if you remember it. It was called The Lion King. Remember that animated Disney film? I think the people there at Disney do a wonderful job in many of their productions to depict the battle in life between good and evil. And they did that very well in that animated version called The Lion King. And so that was one of those productions. We had a family yard sale just a few weeks ago. The Rinkers showed up at our yard sale, and Gary and I, we're trying to update ourselves a little bit. So we were trying to get rid of our VHS, and so we have a lot of animated VHS tapes from when our kids were little, and so one of the videos that went, it almost hurt me, was The Lion King. Like, I wanted to keep it because it's so good, but I'm sure you can get it on DVD or other ways today. But anyway, the line or the main theme from that movie is what I think of when I think of, The Lion King. And it's when the king of the jungle, if you've seen that movie, his name is Mufasa. If you remember, we're going back a couple years here now. Mufasa said to his son Simba, he was giving him advice. He said, for those of you, who have watched that movie, he was training up his son to one day take over his place as king of the jungle. And so he was telling his son, Remember who you are. Remember who you are. One day you're heir to this throne. One day you will be ruling as king. Remember who you are. You know, you will be reigning when I'm gone. And so that's the theme of that animated movie. And I thought how similar that is to what God is saying to us. You know, we're to remember who we are. We are joint heirs with Jesus. We're to rule and reign in his absence. While he's gone, we're to rule and reign. And so that's our identity. Our identity is all wrapped up in Jesus and what Jesus has already accomplished for us at the cross. That's where he accomplished it. So I want to bring out our large spirit board. It's a small picture of some of the things that Jesus has accomplished for us. We did a real in-depth study before on who we are in our born-again spirit. What do we have in there? And so I want to bring that board out. It's a large board. We do have small copies of that on the back table that you can take along home with you, you know, and study it out yourself. We have scriptures that go along with this, but we only have one because it just to save space on the board. But there are many scriptures that back up what we've done, and we studied that a few years ago. So that's just a sampling of some of the things that we have found that belong to us as Christians. There are many more benefits. But I don't have a board big enough to put them all on. Okay, but this is what we've studied, and so that's what we're bringing that back out again. So, you know, I'm not a gambling woman, but I would be willing to bet that most, or at least half of Christians sitting in their pulpits today don't have a revelation of half of that. And so in challenging times, I believe it's very important to know, to have a real strong foundation of our identity so that we can stand, you know, in the storms of life. In our previous teachings a few years ago, we looked at each of these benefits in very, very detail. We studied scripture in detail. We aren't going to go into everything in that great detail again, but I just felt that we are to remember what we studied before, remember where we get our identity from as Christians, and our identity is in Christ. That's where we get our identity. So, you know, when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we became a new creation. We became a new creation. Something changed inside of us. Ralph, the first scripture we want to look at is 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." So when we became born again, we became a new creation. Old things passed away, and all things became new. Is that talking about our whole being? It can't be, because when I got born again, I looked the same after I got born again. My hair color was the same. I weighed the same. My weight didn't change. My face didn't change. I looked the same afterwards. Our bodies didn't change when we got born again. Our face, our body, our soul. But where did all those things that Scripture says? Where did all those old things pass away and all things become new? Well, the Bible says clearly that this isn't all we are. Ralph, next scripture, we are a three-part being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord. So that scripture says we are a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. The change, that change when you became born again, it didn't happen in your body. That change, it didn't happen in your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. You know, if you weren't too smart in math before you got born again, you still weren't after you got born again. Although the ability to come up higher sure changed. That change actually took place in your spirit, the part that you can't see. The change took place in your spirit. So I'm reminding you of all the things that became new in your spirit. The Apostle Paul, Apostle John said in 1 John, Ralph, he said, as he is, so are we in this world. As he is. What part of us is he talking about? He's talking about our spirit. As he is, we are in this world. Our born again spirit. You know, if you're not born again, don't worry, we're not talking about you, okay? We're talking about a born-again spirit, those who are sealed by the Holy Spirit, those who have trusted and received Christ. And so we're talking about our born-again spirit. It is identical to Jesus, the spirit part of us. As he is, so are we in this world, not in our body, not in our soul, in our spirit man. God is a spirit. We are a spirit too. And we're joined to the Lord in spirit. With him, we are one in spirit. So we need to continually see ourselves as that one spirit joined with God, especially when there's a lot of shaking going on in our world. So in him, in Christ, we are one spirit with him. So our identity as Christians is in Christ. And so as we continue through these next months, as you remember in the prophet John Mark Poole saying that there's going to be some more shaking going on over the next couple of months. So we're going to be experiencing that. But we need to maintain a solid identity in who we are in Christ, who he is in us. If we don't, our emotions will take over. And we'll find that we're tossed to and fro, just like the world is being tossed to and fro. That's not what God wants for us. He wants us to stand solid. He wants us to have peace in the midst of the storm. The storm's coming. We're in it. But he wants us to have peace as we go through it, and we can. And so Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." He said that to his disciples right before he was going to be scourged and crucified. That's what he said to his disciples. He knew what he was going to be going through. And so he knew that the disciples' world was about to be shaken. And he's telling them, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be troubled." And in other words, he was telling them, control your emotions. In the shaking, control your emotions in that storm. Don't be tossed to and fro. He said this, you know, trust me, Ralph, in John 14:27b, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And then a few paragraphs later, he tells them in John 16:33, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." We're seeing tribulation in our world, aren't we? Yes. "You will have tribulation," he's saying, "but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We were singing about being overcomers this morning. I have overcome the world. In other words, he's telling them, there's a whole lot of shaking going to be going on. But you be in peace. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. So, you know, we're talking about peace that the world knows nothing about. Peace. And just before Jesus had shared all this with his disciples, he instituted communion during the Last Supper, just before he went to the cross. And during that communion, Ralph, Jesus said this. He said, this is 1 Corinthians 11:24. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." We're to take communion and remember Jesus. He told his disciples to remember what he was about to do for them. He knew what was going to be happening on. And so Jesus is saying the same thing to us, you know, today in the midst of the shaking that we see going on all around us. He says, remember what I did for you. Don't be afraid. I've already overcome all this shaking. I've already overcome the world. Remember what I did in my body and with my blood. Why does he tell us to remember him? Because our identity is critical. It's critical, and our identity is in him. And so he wants us to remember what he's done for us. He wants us to remember what we received through his broken body and through his shed blood until he returns. You know, he was encouraging his disciples there to stand strong. And he's encouraging us in his word today that we should stand strong in the midst of all kinds of things going on. You know, I was very impressed with this young basketball player that was pictured in the news recently. I don't have a picture of it here today. I might be able to get it for you for next week. But his name is Jonathan Isaac. Jonathan Isaac. I don't know if that name sounds familiar, but he's got a good name. Jonathan Isaac. He's a NBA player. And he was recently the first NBA player to stand for our national anthem during the game, during the restart of the basketball season. And he was the only basketball player standing during that game. All the rest of the players kneeled during the national anthem, even the coaches and all the members of the opposing team, except this 22-year-old young man. Jonathan said that kneeling is not the answer. He said, supporting the Black Lives Matter group is not the answer. He said, that's not the answer to all the evil. He said, the answer is the gospel. 22-year-old young man stood, the only one standing. And he said he is concerned about black lives. He's black, you know. But he said, all lives are supported in the gospel. All lives. Now, I don't know how much criticism, how much persecution he has received, you know, by being the only one standing. I don't know how that all went. But that young man could stand against all his peers, the whole world, you know, telling him what he should be doing. But in his heart, he couldn't do that. Why? Because his identity is in Christ. That's what allowed him to stand. Do you think that he maybe thought about that before he made that decision? I think he did. I think there was some you know, going back and forth in his heart, in his brain before he made that decision. But you know, that was about his identity. That was about his identity in Christ. And he knows where the answer is. The answer is in the gospel. It's in Jesus. That's where the answer is. You know, this is not an animated movie. You know, this is not a dress rehearsal. This is real life. And you know, it's been a battle between good and evil ever since that garden. That's what we're in. Now, I can tell you, and I'm sure that you all could verify this, that some things have stepped up a few notches. But God wants us to stand and be in peace through it, trusting him in all of it. God wants us to know about all the things that we've been given, that he's already given in our born-again spirits, already there. All those things that pertain to life and godliness. All the precious promises that are listed, Ralph, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. And Peter says that through knowing all this, that grace and peace, knowing all that we have, knowing all of that, that grace and peace is multiplied to us. That's how we receive that walk in that peace. So God is saying we can have peace in the midst of the storm, in the midst of all the shaking, knowing what God has provided already for us through his Son. And so, Jesus lives in us. We started that last week. We have all of the Godhead inside of us. If we've got Jesus living inside of us, we've got all that Godhead. So it doesn't matter what's causing the shaking. It doesn't matter if you got a negative report from the doctor. It doesn't matter if there's a pandemic going on. It doesn't matter if there's lawlessness and anarchy going on in our world. I was very impressed this week. I don't know if any of you saw this, but out in Portland, there's just a lot of wickedness going on there. But I don't know if you saw the little elderly woman. A little elderly woman stood up. She stood up against that mob. And she stood for the truth. She got her face painted. They weren't real, real nice to her. But a little elderly woman stood up against the mob. And my heart was like, where are all the men of that city? Why aren't they standing up for the truth? Why aren't they standing up for law and order? Little elderly lady, I don't know if you saw it, but I was just blown away by that woman. And I'm like, wow, she got fire in her. We need that fire to emanate all around this land. We need to stand up for what is truth and what is right. That's all about our identity in Christ. God wants us to do that too. And so if our solid foundation, if our identity is in Christ, if we can say that, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, in God I'll trust, if we can say that, then we can be assured that he will deliver us from all of this yuck. We can be assured of that. Just like it says in Psalm 91, my Bible says that God cannot lie. He can't lie. We can trust his promises. And so on Wednesday nights, we have the honor and the privilege of sharing the Charis Healing University teachings, that curriculum, in our Bible studies every Wednesday night. We used to show them here physically on a Wednesday night and a Thursday morning, but now since we've been home, Pastor Ralph has been able to orchestrate it. He's jumped through a lot of hoops to be able to get that out to people. Who knew that this pandemic was going to be going on? But God. But anyway, we've been able to continue those teachings all through this. So thank you. Thank you, Pastor Ralph. And so, God placed it on the hearts of our board of directors of this church back in fall of 2019 that we should purchase that curriculum and go forward with it. I think we may have started up with it around, I think, in January. I remember it just took some time to purchase it. It took some time to set it all up, to advertise it, because we invited everyone in the valley to be able to connect. It wasn't just for our church. We wanted to include everybody, and so that took some time. I think it was about January. Last week in January, thank you, Ralph, that we actually got that out. It still takes a lot of time. The handouts have to be mailed out to those of you who don't have a computer or can't copy them on your computer. So all that takes time. And emails, if I forget an email, please forgive me, but emails have to go out continuously so that you guys can easily click on, so that you can join it. But anyway, we did all that during the COVID, and so I just am so honored that we're able to do that, to get the truth, keep the truth going out. And so in those teachings, you know, we're learning what Jesus has already done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. We're learning about our identity in Christ in every one of those showings, every single one. We're learning what you might not have been taught in your previous church. In most of those lessons, we're learning things that I was never taught in my previous church, even though I was there every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I didn't learn most of what they're teaching through the Charis Healing University teachings. And so each of those teachings, if you've watched or listened along, each of those teachings is always followed by a real life testimony of healing, of how those people applied what they learned through scripture and through Charis University. And so week before last, this woman was on there. I'm pretty sure it was the week when we had the Q&A, the question and answer. So anyway, this woman came on, and she had she was sharing her testimony of a healing from a brain injury. Actually, she had two testimonies because she had brain injuries twice. She had experienced two terrible accidents, and each time she received brain injury. And her name is Donna Jones. If you ever want to look it up, you can go on to Andrew Womack's website, awmi.net, and if you put her name in or look for that healing journey, if you didn't see it, you know, when we were showing it 2 weeks ago. Yes, yeah, she is. She's not far from here. Her name is Donna Jones, and she needed a healing. She needed a miracle, and she was advised to get into the Word, and she knew she needed help. And so she did that. She got into the Word. She was listening to all kinds of teachings, all kinds of testimonies. And this is what she said. And this was just so encouraging to me. She said this: my identity changed from being a brain injury survivor to being a child of the Most High God. Her identity had to change for her to receive her healing. Where did that identity change? It was from the Word. It was reading the Word, studying the Word. She was a Christian with a traumatic brain injury. But in order to change that reality, she had to renew her mind to what God had said, instead of what the doctors said and instead of what her symptoms were saying to her very loudly in her body. She learned about her identity, who she was in Christ. She looked in the mirror to see what she had already purchased for her in her born-again spirit. Healing. And so if you want to know, you know, what you like in your spirit, you can't go to your bathroom mirror and take a look at it. You're not going to see it there, you know. You gotta open up the Word. That's our spiritual mirror. We have to look at our spiritual mirror to see who we are in our born-again spirit. And so our spirit board that we have here is just a reflection of some of those studies that we had gone through a number of years ago of what God had already provided for us through Jesus. And I said we don't have a board big enough to include it all. But we have a pretty good representation there. Yeah, pretty good. And so, you know, we have a great benefit package in Christ. You know, my husband worked for Kraft all those years, and they had a great benefit package for him. But I can tell you that what we got in here trumps it all. Trumps it all. Can you go to your Bibles, please? Go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Let's look at our benefit package.
Those benefits for Kraft were cheesy benefits.
Those benefits at Kraft were cheesy benefits for those who are listening. Good one, Ralph. Psalm 103, and I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his what?
Benefits.
Forget not all his..." We got benefits, church. We got benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, all your iniquities, so we're forgiven. Who heals all your diseases, so we're healed. Who redeems your life from destruction, we're redeemed, church, we're redeemed. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your mouth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. For all who... Does that include black lives?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that include Hispanic lives?
Yeah.
Does that include white lives?
Yeah.
That includes all lives, right? Okay, all right. For all who are oppressed, jump to verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and is abounding in mercy. Drop down to verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. We have some awesome benefits, guys. You know, we have some listed on our spirit board. There are a whole lot more, but these are what we already have access to in our born again spirit. And God wants us to know what we have. He wants us to remember. So, you know, if someone gave you $1 million and put it in a bank account for you and didn't tell you about it, would that be any benefit to you? No, you couldn't, you didn't know it was there. You couldn't access it, right? But, you know, if they tell you that, yeah, oh, I've got $1 million in the bank account with your name on it, this is where it is, this is the account number, go make your withdrawal. Then you can benefit from that. If you know that it's there, then you can draw that out. You write out a withdrawal slip or you write a check against it and you can withdraw that. So, you know, that would be a benefit if you knew that it was there. I'm reminding you all today what you have in your spiritual bank account, what you already have there. I'm reminding you what Jesus has already done for us. You know, in your born-again spirit, you're already a new creation. You already have the fruit of the Spirit of God, the love, the joy, the peace. We've already got it in there. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We have God's power. We have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead on the inside of us. My Bible says God cannot lie. It's there. It's there. You can't see it looking in at your bathroom mirror, but it's in there. We're looking at our spiritual mirror. That's what it says. We're saved. We have life, eternal life. In our born again spirit, we got life. We're saved. We're preserved. We're delivered. We have health and healing and prosperity. We're forgiven. We have His protection. We have wholeness. We got victory. Where is it? In our spirit. In our spirit. We're complete. We looked at that last time. We're perfect. We're righteous. We're holy. We're blameless. No condemnation in our born again spirit. We have a sound mind. We have the fullness of God. We got the Godhead. We saw that last week. We have His anointing. Where's the kingdom of God? Right here. It's in us. We have His authority. He's given us authority. We're to rule and reign in His absence. We have the glory of God. We have the mind of Christ. We got a ton of benefits, guys, by receiving Christ into our hearts. But how do we withdraw from our spiritual bank account? You know, once we know what we've got in there after we've studied it, well, you know, what we preach from this podium and what we are learning on Wednesday night Charis Healing Teachings is that we make that withdrawal by faith. Faith draws it out of our born-again spirit. Ralph, could you bring up Ephesians 2:8? For by grace... You have been saved through faith, by grace through faith. It's provided by grace. That's God's grace. He's already provided it. It's by faith that we receive, it into us, and then we release that provision from our born-again spirit. You know, there's a huge difference in going to a bank and withdrawing money that you already know is there, or going to the bank and asking for a loan that you don't know that you're going to get. Huge difference. If you know that money's there, you can withdraw it. Big difference. God wants us to know what we already have in our born-again spirit. It's already provided. Jesus said, do this in remembrance. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I've done for you. Remember what I've given you. You know what, guys? We don't lack anything. We got it. So what I taught on our identity a few years back, I showed you this. I don't know if you remember this. Can they see this on? Okay. This is an identity bracelet that Gary and I had gotten when we went to stay at Walt Disney for a few days. We were there. We stayed at one of the lesser priced hotels in there. Some of them are kind of pricey, but they all had this identification bracelet. Yeah, you can see that. There's a little Mickey Mouse ears on there. Okay, little. And so when we checked into the hotel, this is what they gave us. This was our key to get into to our room that we were staying in. All you had to do was take this thing and swipe it by the doorknob, and it opened, you know. And so they went on to tell us that this is your key to all the benefits in Disneyland or Disney World. We were in Florida, Disney World. And so this ID bracelet got us into all the Disney parks. So there's a number of different parks down there. They got fast lanes. This got us into there. We could purchase things with this thing in their stores. Kind of is reminiscent of, you know, I don't know if that's a good thing, you know, with future whatever. But anyway, but this was our ID bracelet. This was our identity. And this gave us access to all the benefits of Disney World. Similarly, you know, our connection to Jesus, we have access to all the benefits that Jesus bought and paid for us. We have access in our born-again spirit. It's already there. So Paul prayed for the Ephesians. He wanted them to know what the riches were that they had. And so could you go to your Bibles? Could you flip over to Ephesians chapter 1? I want to look at that. Paul prayed for the Ephesians. He wanted them to know what their inheritance was in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 16. It says, Paul is saying, I do not cease to give thanks for you, Ephesian church, making mention of you in my prayers, that the Lord God of that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Well, we were praying that back there in the prayer room this morning, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Where's that glory? It's in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his what? We're his body. The fullness of him who fills all in all. So Paul is praying for God to open the Ephesians' understanding and to show them what they already have. What they already have. And so, you know, there's a big difference in believing that you know, God can do something, but he hasn't really done anything yet. And there's a difference in that and knowing that God has already done it, and it belongs to each and every one of us. And so that's a huge difference. It's a big difference to know that by the stripes of Jesus, we're healed. At 1 Peter 2:24, healing has already been deposited into your spiritual bank account. We just got to make a withdrawal. You know, this week we received a great report. A few weeks ago, Barry had asked for prayer. I don't know how long ago it was, but prayer for a coworker who had found out a couple months previous, I guess, that I'm going to ask Barry to come up and share that testimony, but that they found out that they were going to be parents for the first time. And I'll let Barry share that testimony. Can I? You want to come up here? Okay. Could you speak into the mic?
Okay. So I work for Tyler. And he's more than just a boss. He's become a great friend. And he came to me several weeks ago one evening after work, and he shared with me that him and his wife Emily are having twins and are going to be identical. It was too soon to know the sex, but he was just glowing. And the two mornings later, I was on the phone with him. I was on a job site. And he broke down and cried, and he said, please pray for us. We're going to see the doctor. There's a problem with the babies. And they had advised them, because of one of the children having an issue, that they should abort the babies. And he knew he wasn't going to do that, but he needed support. And so what I... He's been very good friends, best friends for over a decade with my son, Nick. And through Nick's encouragement, my encouragement, and just the years of hearing God's word, he began to speak things like, I'm not going to listen to them. I know what the truth is. And I told him that he should make an appointment and go in and tell whoever's in charge that they are not allowed to use the word abortion because he's a Christian and he doesn't believe in murder. So they came back from that next appointment and they said the babies are moving around and they're absolutely fine. And I had been listening to Charles Stanley this morning, and his service was on Satan and what a liar he is. And you know, I never told Tyler, but at the same time, my brother Ronnie was told that his cancer treatments were no longer working, and he has two new large tumors. And that was a false report. So this testimony isn't about me. It's about Jesus and what he can do. And the only thing that I can leave with you personally is throughout the last 2 months, my prayer and my thanksgiving prayer has been, God, through Jesus, you are my bread of life, and you are the water that I can thirst no more. And that little bit was all the nugget I needed to be the support for my friends.
Awesome. Thank you, Barry. You know, Barry is a light where he works. He's a light there. And what if that daddy and that mommy would have accepted that doctor's report and aborted those beautiful babies? Thank you, Barry, for being the light there and for encouraging them to stand and not be moved by that negative report. It's just powerful to know what God says. What do we have? Stand on it. It doesn't matter. Their world was being shaken. But thank God for light to help them stand in that time of shaking. You know, each one of us is a light out there in a very dark world. You will touch people's lives that I'll never meet. But you can let your light shine. You can let the truth come forth. We don't bow to the enemy's lies. We stand for truth. And so, you know, we just read there in Ephesians 1:18. Do we have that one up there, Ralph? Do we have 1:18 up there? I'm not sure. Yeah, we do. Okay. That we read there that the riches of God's glory, they're inside of you. They're inside of you and me. They're inside his saints. So the God of glory is inside of you. It's in heaven too, but his glory is inside of you. It has to come out of you. You know, that glory has to come out. And, you know, everyone looks from the outside for things to come in. But this is different. This is a spiritual thing. It got to come from the inside out. It has to come from our spirit man. And so in verses 19 and 20, Ralph, there it says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside each of us, each of our born-again spirits. So Paul is praying that the Ephesians would get a revelation of that power that they already had inside of them, and not to ask God for power. They already had it. So we have that same power inside of us. The resurrection was the greatest manifestation of power that anybody has ever witnessed. So that power, that same power, is inside you and I. We lack nothing. If you can wrap your brain around that, you won't be shaking and being tossed to and fro like the rest of the world in any situation. We need to maintain that revelation, because that changes the perspective of the thing that we're facing. And we don't want to think. We won't think like the world. We just need to know how to release what we already have been given on the inside of us. The first step to realize any good thing the first step is to realize every good thing that God has already placed inside of us. Ralph, could you go to our final scripture? It's Philemon 1:6. It says that our faith becomes effective when we acknowledge every good thing that which is in us in Christ Jesus. I'm reminding you today who you are in Christ. I'm reminding you what you've already got on the inside of you. That's our identity. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. The greater one lives in us. And you have the capacity to allow the peace that's already been placed inside of our born-again spirit to be released. You have that capacity to make that choice, or to be tossed to and fro like the world is. You make that choice. And so, you know, he is the Prince of Peace, and he paid for all of it for us. We're going to remember now through communion. We're going to remember all that Jesus has provided for us.